Lakuta Sicha is Chelik Yud, Parsha Vayigash, the first Sicha, a summary of the Sicha. The Parsha tells about Yosef and Binyamin meeting for the first time after when Yosef came out to the brothers. And it says that Yosef fell upon the neck of Binyamin, his brother, and he cried. And Binyamin cried over the neck of Yosef. The Gemara says that Yosef was crying over the two Beis HaMikdash that were destroyed in the section of Binyamin. Binyamin had owned the section of Eretz Yisrael where the Beis HaMikdash stood. So, and both of them were destroyed, so he cried over those Beis HaMikdash. And Binyamin cried over the one Mishkan that was in Shiloh, which was in the section of Yosef, so, and that was also destroyed, so therefore he cried over that. How is it that crying on the neck is somehow representative of crying for the Beis HaMikdash? What's the connection between the neck and the Beis HaMikdash? Just as the literal neck is at the high point of the person's body, so also the Beis HaMikdash is at the high point of the world. And when we say the high point of the world, it doesn't mean the very absolutely highest point of the world, because we know that there was the Ein Itam, which means the spring of Itam flowed down into the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it was at a higher point than the Beis HaMikdash, 23 Amos above the level of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, that was at the high point. The Beis HaMikdash was not at the high point. Therefore, it's called, just as the neck is not at the very high point of the body, it's at the upper area of the body, but not the very highest point, which is the head. But what is the point of being called a neck, or being in the position of a neck? If the high point is a quality, so then being the highest would be the greater quality. Why is it that the neck is not at the highest point? In other words, the Beis HaMikdash is not at the highest point. The reason for this is because for a person, the neck has a more important function in a certain sense than the head, because the head is the center of chayis, but the point is to bring that chayis, that energy and the seichel and so on, into the rest of the body. And that's the function of the neck. Through the neck, that's the connection, that's how we draw down whatever the head has to offer into the rest of the body. And the real purpose of life is, of course, to have the body alive. So the head is only the source of the chayis, but it needs to be brought down into the rest of the body. In a similar way, the Beis HaMikdash, the function, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is in order to be able to bring the godly light to the rest of the world. Therefore, that's represented by not being removed and aloof from the world, just as the head might be aloof from the body, but it's because the neck attaches it. So also the Beis HaMikdash was meant to draw down the holiness of the world, the holiness of Hashem, into the world, to be connected to the world, and not at the very highest point, but rather closer to the rest of the world, which explains why Yosef and Binyamin cried over the neck, and that's how it's described to represent crying over the Beis HaMikdash. However, the second question could be asked: why is it that Yosef cried over Binyamin's Beis HaMikdash, two of them, and Binyamin cried over Yosef's Beis HaMikdash? You would imagine that a person is even closer to his own tragedy. And if Yosef has a Mishkan that is destroyed, he should be crying over that rather than somebody else's tragedy. And Binyamin has two tragedies of two destroyed Beis HaMikdash, he should be crying over that rather than on Yosef's tragedy. The answer is because what is the purpose of crying? What is the function of crying? Crying doesn't fix anything. It only eases your own emotions, your own conscience. You cried, you had a good cry, so now you feel better. But it doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't fix the problem. So when a person has no ability to fix something, crying could be of some use, value. But if you have the ability to fix the problem, then wasting time crying would only interfere with your ability to cry, to fix the problem. And why would you waste time on that? So therefore, when it comes to somebody else's Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed because the person themselves who has the responsibility, whose Beis HaMikdash it is, they have the responsibility to fix their Beis HaMikdash, because only through their Aveda are they able to do it. What can another person do about somebody else's destroyed Beis HaMikdash? They can encourage them, but they can't do much about it. Therefore, the only thing that you can do is see that there is a Beis HaMikdash that's destroyed and cry over the empathize with the other person. So therefore, Yosef, to his own Beis HaMikdash, he had to fix it, not cry over it. Binyamin, over Binyamin's Beis HaMikdash, he can cry. And the same in the reverse, Binyamin to Yosef's Beis HaMikdash. It's also interesting that when Yosef met up with Yaakov for the first time after 22 years, it says that Yosef fell upon Yaakov's neck and he cried. And so the Zohar says that he was crying over the Beis HaMikdash, over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and also Bocha al Tzabar Oid. The Pasuk even says that he cried even more. This was over the Golus, the later Golus as well. But Yaakov didn't cry. Yaakov fall on Yosef's neck. Why wasn't he crying? So Rashi says the reason he wasn't crying was because he was reading Shema. In other words, that he was on such a high level that his reading of Shema was, he was not distracted by meeting his son for the first time, and he even had the wherewithal to be able to focus properly, to read the Shema properly, even though all this was going on around him, within him, and so on. But the question is, why didn't he cry over the Beis HaMikdash? You would think that that would be something that he would cry over, and or at least on Yosef's Beis HaMikdash or Binyamin's Beis HaMikdash, but he didn't cry at all. The reason is because Yaakov is, every Beis HaMikdash is his Beis HaMikdash, because he's the father of all the Shvatim, of all the Yidden, and therefore there is no someone else's Beis HaMikdash, it's all him. So therefore he has to be busy with fixing the Beis HaMikdash at all times, and that's what he was doing. He was reading Shema. Shema is like Karbonis. The purpose of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash was to bring Karbonis, and the Gemara says that when you read Shema, it's as if you brought a Karbon. So therefore he got busy with doing the work of the Beis HaMikdash rather than crying over the Beis HaMikdash at all. And if you might think that once they already saw that there was a Gzeira that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so then what else can you do? It's done. You would think it's a done deal, it's a Gzar Din. So we know that even if there is a Gzar Din already, it's possible to, through prayer and through Aveda, to do away with a Gzar Din, as is mentioned a number of places. And we also know the story of Chizkiah the king, that the Navi told him that he was destined to die, he was going to die, and he turned to the wall and he prayed, and through this he gained 15 more years of life. So we see that even though there's a Gzar Din, that the Navi already delivered the message to you, you're still able to override that Gzeira.